Freedom is a choice, and yet so many people decide not to be free.
Welcome to the Hypothalamic Amenorrhea Podcast, the show dedicated to helping women get their periods back and restore their health naturally. I'm your host, Danny Sheriff, and sometimes the show is hosted by other members of our expert team here at the HA Society. Each episode dives into real stories, signs, and strategies for your period recovery. Whether you're deep in the HA journey or just starting to piece it all together, we've got you. And if you're looking for more support and connection, I promise you there are many other women going through this too. Come join us inside of our private community at thehasociety.com. Let's dive in. Hey, are you trying to recover and maybe even fall pregnant naturally? I thought that might be you. And if so, we have created our best ever yet resource for you. Totally free. This is a masterclass. I've called it my masterclass because I have put everything into this, right? This masterclass is designed for you if you have HA or have had HA and are dealing with suboptimal cycles and you're serious about restoring those babies to full optimization and you want to create the ideal foundation for a pregnancy. This is going to be for you. So, in this masterclass, I'm going to provide you a lot of things, including a lot of case studies, mine, Ashley's, and Mishi's, as well as lots of our past clients and what their challenges were and what they had to do to overcome it. And we cover a really wide variety of types of cases of HA. So everything from primary amenorrhea and missing periods for years and years to short-term amenorrhea and what we did to handle that situation as well, and how long it took these people to go from HA to pregnant with this system, and how long it took them to go from HA to ovulating, of course, with this system. So lots of information, lots of case studies, lots of stats. We go through why this is not a weight gain plan and how we actually divide you into phases, the three phases of HA, and determine what your starting point is so that you have a good idea of where you need to start with your actual changes in lifestyle and nutrition changes. We even cover questions like HA and people with a normal BMI and recovery for people who have had HA for too long. There's so much in this 60-minute masterclass. Y'all, I'm impressed. And at the end, I'll also be running you through how to get a free HTMA, hair tissue mineral analysis through us, which is a part of our process for recovery and preconception clients that we're happily going to give you for free $99 as a massive thank you, of course, for joining the masterclass. So go to thehasociety.com/masterclass or head to our website and you'll find a link for it and find when the next available presentation is going to be. That's thehasociety.com/masterclass.
3, 2, 1.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Hypothalamic Amenorrhea Podcast. We're talking about actually doing Q&As on all things weight gain.
Let's go.
All things about it. Yeah, really quick. I'm not a doctor. Ashley, you a doctor?
I am not a doctor.
Mishi, you a doctor?
No.
All right, no doctors.
Me being a doctor.
No one here is a doctor. So do with that what you will. Okay. I recently sent an email out. Well, Mishi sent it out. But I asked her
Just
ask
so you know, I'm the ghostwriter.
Yes. She does
it makes things all pretty.
She's the writer. But I asked her to ask you questions on weight gain, whether it's a concern, a struggle. The reality is it's our most popular topic. Everyone wants to know about it. It's the crux of the issue.
That's a fair.
If it wasn't a problem, you wouldn't even be here. So that's how serious it is.
It's on your mind.
Constantly.
We know it's on your mind. Mm-hmm. It's haunting you.
So this is not the first and this shall not be the last Q&A that we do on the topic, but we just kind of wanted to kick it off. So I have three or four that I have chosen responses from that. Let's dive right in. Well, okay, let's dive right into the first one. Hey, I'm Sonia. I connected with you over Instagram.
Woo!
That might have been Mishi. I would briefly like to tell you what I'm facing exactly. Mm-hmm. I have always been overweight. A couple of years ago, it's not a word. A couple of years ago, I started my weight loss journey and within a year, lost 25 kilos. It's about 75.
Let me do that.
She's saying...
I got it.
She lost 25 kilos. She went from 75 to 52.
Okay.
Okay.
Convert. That's 55 pounds. 55 pounds.
My periods were always regular. It was later when I lost my periods for about a year. All my medical reports were negative. I don't know what that means. We'll get to that. Okay. And I couldn't understand the reason. I did take birth control, but only got 2 cycles. I still didn't get periods for the next 5 months until I started a homeopathic course and got my periods within just a month with normal ovulation. In 5 months, I got 3 cycles, but I have gained around 14 kilos in 1 year.
Okay, hold on.
Well, that'll be like 25 pounds-ish.
Ish.
Despite of my cycles returning...
30.
30?
30 pounds.
Despite of my cycles returning after the treatment, I gained 3 kilos in 5 months. I'm not sure if I'll ever be able to lose weight in the future or not. I follow a very healthy, balanced diet and I don't skip meals. I do exercise at home as well, but this issue of weight gain is persistent. I just want to be assured if I'll ever be able to lose weight after my cycles becoming regular or not. I'm still under treatment.
Four.
I want you guys to know I don't pre-read any of these. not to say that it's not a good question, Sanya, it is, but sometimes it can be hard. As we're reading through it, we have to find what the real question is.
Yeah.
Right? And so all that background information about how much weight you lost, you gained, blah, 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 doesn't matter, really.
Sorry.
That's right.
Well, I mean, I do think it matters because
it's context.
It's context. I think the numbers that she was throwing around were quite actually really big numbers.
Mm-hmm. Huge.
So think about like losing 55 pounds. And you're like, this is just losing 55 pounds and then gaining 30 of those pounds and having a normal cycle. Like your body is like already answered the question for us. However, I do think that like, I think our goal has always been like, we don't have a weight loss program. Mm-hmm. That's not what our program is. Mm-hmm. I think if anything, like the way that we coach is like, could you possibly just leave your body alone for like a hot second, let it heal and then see what happens? You know, I think this is probably a good place where like each of us could probably talk about our journey. Meaning that, like, I gained 30 pounds and I've probably, like, lost 5 to 10 and I just hover there. But my body is very different than when I recovered. Ooh, I should show y'all my driver's license. It's a good thing. It like, triggers me each time. You know what I mean? But because I was so puffy and I was so bloated and whatever. And, that, like, it's literally not the same face.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Okay, well, what did you do?
Yeah.
What did I... Oh, I gained 30 pounds as well, too.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's a pretty...
I think I did, too.
Average, yeah. Solid, like, number.
So she was... She said for within a year. Okay, so she...
Yes. Let's start from the beginning.
A couple of years ago, right, Sanya started a weight loss journey, and within a year, she lost 25 kilograms.
So that's 55 pounds in a year.
Takes her from 75 starting weight, which was actually my starting weight.
That was actually my weightlifting class, but go ahead, yes.
What's 75 in pounds?
I think it's 165.
It's like 165. Hold on. I got y'all. 165.
Look at me.
Okay.
And she went down to 52, which is, I think, 125.
Okay.
Yeah, I never made it to the 52 weight class.
Couldn't.
That 114.
Okay.
Dude, I just want everybody to know, like, I'm, like, 5 foot, and, like, when my body dipped below, like, 114, 115, my period started to get light, and then once I dipped to 110, gone.
Yeah. Going from 165 to 114 is, like, within a year is actually huge.
Huge stress on your body, and you're really messing with its like equilibrium. Like, it's really struggling to find homeostasis.
Yes, like that's actually way bigger than anybody actually realizes.
Yeah, but go ahead. I just like wonder what she did to have that extreme of a weight loss. That would be more.
And
telling.
How did you do it? But you know what? Here's the thing. Like, I lost like 30 pounds in like 1 year, and I did it slowly and appropriately with blah 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 blah, and I still lost my period because your period don't care.
Yeah, no, true, but still, it's a significant
weight loss. Yeah, when you look at the math of 12 months and how many kilos that is per month,
yeah,
that's like, actually not even that slow. But like in the moment, you think that it
well,
is.
Well, yeah, well, because like you probably didn't do this. Well, I don't know. Like you probably like I didn't lose 30 pounds in 3 months. Like, you know, like it's not like the crazy that's been like advertised to us. Mm-hmm. You know, regardless, I still don't think the body cares.
Yeah.
Yeah. She said, yeah, now. So she gained 14 kilos back, which is not even
30 pounds.
Well, yeah, which is not particularly close to her initial weight. And
right.
I personally had to get back up to my initial, mm-hmm. the weight that I started my entire weight loss journey at.
Yes.
So it's for Sanya, it's probably going to be similar. But this is what happens to a lot of people is they have this extreme weight loss and they're maybe comfortable gaining back to half of it.
Yeah.
But fair. Anything more is challenging. And one of the common stories in someone's head is, but like, this is just I'm not that lean.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
mm-hmm. This should be enough. And that tends to be a downfall for people.
It's a huge trap because like where I lost my period was at 135 pounds, where most people heal.
Yes,
and
most of our clients actually get up to that.
Yes, and I lost it at 135 on like 1800 plus calories. And so and that's why it took me forever to accept my journey because I was like, no one in their right mind should not be able to weigh 135 pounds and have their period.
Yeah. I think I lost mine at 145.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not surprised.
To your belief system.
100%. And so getting back to her actual question, first off, I need her to acknowledge that this weight fluctuation of loss is actually way bigger. This, the adding on, nobody's surprised that it took that and required that. Mm-hmm. And
that it's not back yet.
And that, well, I think her question is, will she ever be able to work her way back?
Yeah, she said, I just want to be assured if I'll ever be able to lose weight after my cycles become regular.
Well, first off, nobody can do that. And if they tell you that, they're trying to sell you a hot program for like, I don't know, $1,500. I can assure that you can. Nobody can. So there's that. But I think it's like, I think it's, there's multiple things that actually go into weight loss and sustaining weight loss. And like, what does your lifestyle look like? What is your safety? Like where, but at the end it's like, where does your body prefer to be in this season? Because it's not going to stay the same.
Yeah.
It's just not going to stay the same. And I think that that's what the diet industry like pries on is like, oh, I can frame freeze you. First off, we'll get you to lose weight and then frame freeze you. Mm-hmm. And then you can stay there forever.
Yeah. It's not real.
And it's just not going to happen. I think that like her goal of being able, like, no one's ever going to be like, I can't believe that's your goal because we all thought that. Mm-hmm. But I would encourage her to be like, what else is important to you? And like, is it, I want to ovulate, work out hard, train hard, whatever, you know, then like weight loss isn't the thing. Sometimes for like people's bodies, you don't get to have everything at the top three, training, ovulation, and weight loss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah, especially not at the same time.
That's what I'm saying.
But she's asking, will she ever get to?
We don't know. Yeah. I mean, it's possible, I think. And what I always tell people is, like, I don't know what's possible for your body until we give it the foundations that it needs.
And if you're skipping steps. It's like,
yeah.
I get it that you want to think about it that far down the track. Yeah. But
absolutely.
You kind of actually, the only, you need to just, like, focus on right now.
You know what? So, but you know, to be fair, the only way that I was going to start my healing journey was that I knew that I knew that I knew that if I wanted to lose weight, that like I could. And so that was always my my comfort blanket. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, like I get it, but this is also why my question is like, give your body 6 months. How about you not micromanage your body for 6 months to a year, and then let's just revisit it.
Yeah.
Let's just revisit it. It's a
better mindset. Yeah.
That's the approach I love.
Yeah, just to like take. I'm not saying that it's wrong. There doesn't need to be any judgment. I'm not trying to convince you that you should or shouldn't, because if I was starting my healing journey and someone was sitting here trying to convince me to not want weight loss, I would be like, screw you, give you the middle finger. Yeah. You clearly don't understand me, like we're not gonna vibe, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just not you know what I mean.
So in short, we don't know.
Nobody knows.
It's okay for you to want that, but you right now need to stop thinking about that and let your body just be. And just every time the thought comes up of like, am I going to be able to get this again? I'm never going to be happy again. Think, just like pause and be like, we can revisit this later. So absolutely. To her point, she was like, once I get my cycle back and it's regular, can I lose weight again? That's a great, you know, I love that she already knows that that's the process that has to happen. But just like, I think each time you have the thought that's thinking a lot about the future, you just need to pull it back in. Mm-hmm. The time will come. And if you want to visit that when that time comes, that is your prerogative. But do not decide for yourself now what future you want.
Yeah.
Because you're actually just like not even at the end of your process.
You're putting a future fear on your current self when your future self is going to have more evidence, more experience, and she will be able to navigate that beautifully.
Yeah, and so you know, realistically, maybe from like a year from now, maybe you do try to start doing, and like your body's gonna let you know. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be a short luteal phase. It's going to be delayed ovulation. You know what I mean? Like she's going to let you know.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Wait it out. Give yourself a timeline. We say 6 months from now.
Revisit. 6 months to a year.
To a year. Revisit.
And we can talk about that later. Mine lets me know all the time. Mine's always changing because I play so much sport. So, but anyway, question number two. McCann. Dear Danny and crew. First of all, thank you so much for your helpful videos. I actually asked a question back in April, but didn't receive a response. And now I have an important concern. I love this. Pause. If you need a response from us, join They Chase Society. They get top priorities.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You are guaranteed a response from any one of our team.
Yep.
If you need us, the free avenues is just like not the place.
No.
Mikan, thank you for being a dedicated person, dedicated listener.
Thank
you for revisiting and bumping that back up. Today's the day. Okay. I've struggled with restrictive eating disorder and my weight dropped to around 28 kilos.
Let me do the math again. That's very low.
That's going to be like 120.
28?
28 kilos?
I think that's like 82 pounds.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
61 pounds.
Oh, my bad. Okay, that's really bad. She did say it was very restrictive eating disorder. Understatement. All right.
Fair.
So I've been in recovery from December until last year, and I generally think, in italics, I consume around 2,500 calories or more per day.
Probably need it.
I'm 1.5 meters tall, so 150 centimeters.
I don't have the conversion on that.
Is shorter than me, so it's you. okay. And I currently weigh 48 kilos. She's almost 18, so she's very young.
105.
Okay, she's 18.
I don't think I was 105 at 18.
No. Not at 18, but like, okay, you're not 30. All right. I had my first period in May. It was short, but about 5 days, and at the time I weighed 40 kilos. After that, I didn't get my period again. In September, I had my period again. This time it lasted 7 days and was normal, and I weighed 46 kilos then. However, my third period still has not happened. Before that,
Ashley's like,
wait. What was the most recent weight? She was like, and then I had
because in September,
because she dropped from 105 to 88 pounds. But so keep going.
Yeah, but was 46, which is probably a record. Oh no.
46
is only 2 kilos less than.
Okay.
Before that, in June, I started developing, quote, stretch marks on my legs. And because of that, I stopped eating. I'm worried if I continue gaining weight and the stretch marks on my legs get worse, what should I do? I'm short and I'm not sure about gaining more weight. Even my family doesn't support me and they want me to lose weight.
Okay. These are always so layered.
These are super layered. But we're going to tell it to her how she needs to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Go.
Okay. What was the last weight that she mentioned? And she says
46 kilos.
Which is 101 pounds.
101 pounds. Third period hasn't happened. 2,500 mm-hmm. calories a day. So here's what it is. You're not eating enough and you haven't gained enough weight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that one's really easy.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. So to not get into the other things that are actually impacting recovery. But sometimes we do. So first off, just because you had a bleed doesn't mean it was all the Tori. Mm-hmm. And so, but we have to acknowledge that your body did turn on. And I'm not here to say that you have to be a certain weight and hate on you for being lighter.
And if you can't get it consistent, the body's the one speaking, not
yes.
us.
Yeah. Yep. So one, did you have an ovulatory cycle? Because generally, if you're having an ovulatory cycle and you're maintaining and not losing weight, which is not what happened, she went from 100 to 88 and then now it's gone. Mm-hmm. That was always going to happen. So like you lost almost 20 pounds-ish and then mm-hmm. now you're on the HA spectrum and then now your period's gone. Nobody's surprised.
Yeah.
Nobody's surprised. You know what I mean? And so going from 101 pounds to 88 pounds to then less than that, and then now your cycle's gone. Your body, like Danny said, your body's already spoken. But mm-hmm. one, we don't know whether you had an ovulatory cycle. It was likely anovulatory. Two, the very quick, because then that means that she lost 20-ish pounds within a month, is a huge swing for the body. So I'm not surprised that now her period is missing.
And that must have taken some like significant and severe tactics to get there.
Yeah. So we have to lose 20 pounds.
We have to put that cycles. Into that equation as well.
Yeah.
Too.
That like wasn't that I kept eating 2,500 calories mm-hmm. and my metabolism just went up and I magically lost 20 pounds. Yeah. That's not what happened.
Yeah.
And I think that anytime, look here. Men will go to the gym and their pecs will grow
mm-hmm.
and they will get stretch marks right here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Stretch marks are a very normal part of being a human.
It's just an actual thing.
Zach has massive stretch marks on his back from going really through tall puberty guys. And growing yes. to 6 foot.
Yeah.
Does Dave have stretch marks?
Yeah, he does.
Yes.
That was what I was going to say about yes. her question there. Because like we're treating that as like
this a is sign some of kind fat.
Of a sign of a problem. Of like a problem. Yeah. And it's like that's not actually the problem.
That's actually not a sign
the
of a problem at all.
The problem is that you think that it's the problem. That's where we should be.
Men are never like, I'm apologizing for being so tall. And yeah. these stretch marks that made you tall.
You know what I love?
I'm sorry for being a tall guy.
No, they probably think it's like, oh my gosh, my muscles are bigger.
This no, is a 100% sign, a they do. Oh, look sign. How big I am. My stepbrother.
Brandon, is that true?
Brandon.
He's not listening, but if you get stretch marks from being so big as a guy, are you actually stoked about it?
Like excited?
Yeah. You're like, look how massive I am. I got stretch marks from getting so big.
Yeah. See, guys. Like, Brandon's the newest member of our team. We have his coffee order, and he's getting an oyster. So he might pop in from time to time.
Yeah.
But you know, like my stepbrother, he has stretch marks on his lower stomach, and he was a swimmer.
Yeah.
A swimmer in high school, a swimmer in college, like actually a phenomenal swimmer. Most swimmers actually do have stretch marks because they're so tall and they're built, right?
Yeah.
That like. That has nothing to do with fat.
And then I have stretch marks on my boobs from babies.
Yeah.
And I think I might have just have always had them from
puberty. Here's the problem is that, you know, whatever the forces may be, have decided that that's a problem.
Yeah.
However, yeah. these forces know that this is biology. This is a natural, but what they've done is they create the insecurity because they understand biology. This is naturally going to happen to these
this
people.
This is going to happen, so what? So let's market to them.
Let's market it. Like, it's a problem.
And you literally can't make it go away. So now I'll have them chase something with endless products.
It is the best business model.
Yeah, because it's going to happen. Oh, but here... It happens to guys, but we'll never market it to
never
guys.
Never market it to guys.
We'll just market it to girls as if it happens.
Exactly. And it's something that is a problem and that you should take care yeah. of. And that because it's biology, like, you will never win. Mm-hmm. You will always be a customer for life and you will always feel insecure. So when we're talking about insecurities, you have to always think about who is benefiting from this.
Yeah. Whose profit margins are insane.
Who is benefiting from me being insecure about stretch marks or whatever it is.
And you know what? I'm going to believe her point of view, although I would challenge it if she was a client, that her family has told her to stop. And so then this would be my question back. So to make your family happy and feel comfortable, you are dedicating your life to living a sick life with no hormonal production. So that your family can be happy. Although at 18, this puts you at high risk for osteoporosis, osteopenia, a lifelong of eating disorder. And then on top of it, you're putting yourself in a menopause state at
18. Totally infertile.
That makes completely
me
infertile.
So sad.
And no estrogen. And by the way, at this 16, 17, 18 is where we have peak bone
mass. That's what I was
mass,
just
is
about
where
to
like
say.
We lay down. Bone, and you do not get that opportunity again. So to make your family happy, we are saying yes to missing out on peak bone mass, mm-hmm. like laying this down. You're not going to get this opportunity again. Osteoporosis, osteopenia in early 30s, mental health issues because of lack of estrogen and progesterone, a menopause state, brain fog, a dry vagina, painful sex, no libido, downregulated thyroid. We're going to say yes to all of these so that our family is happy.
And look like a child for the rest of your life.
Yeah, no development of like breasts or hips or curves or anything like that. And not for other people, but for yourself, you know. And so I just like, I don't say that to be mean. I just want her to have an informed opinion, allow her to make an informed decision on what she is saying yes to whenever we're people pleasing with our bodies.
Yeah,
I think that's fair. One little last thing I love on Instagram is like the reels that kind of highlight, they'll show like parts of the body like cellulite and then show it in nature, where it shows up in nature, like it looks like, and then the stretch marks where that shows up in nature as well. And it's just kind of showing you like this is actually very natural and we are such a reflection of nature. But nature, when we look at it in nature, so I think the stretch marks one was like on the sand, the waves that you'll see sometimes in sand.
Mm-hmm. I thought of trees in that moment.
In trees, yeah.
You know, I think of wrinkles like in elephants.
And elephants. Well, same thing, but we demonize those as something that are bad. Like, I think about Yoda. He has so many little wrinkles.
His teeth go in every different direction.
Yeah.
His eyes go in different directions.
He's cute. But when we see that in ourselves, we're like, oh, it's gross.
And the last thing I'll add for her too, just because she mentions that I think I consume 2,500 calories thing.
Mm-hmm.
There are many, many, many cases where that is not enough food.
Many cases.
There's a high likelihood that just because we know you guys.
That
you're very focused on that fact and you probably don't want to eat over 2,500 calories.
You're eating 2,500 calories
ceiling.
And rice cakes.
Yeah, I was like.
And laughing cow cheese.
What is the 2,500 calories? Are there any carbs in there?
Yeah, so that's just something to just note too. Like, we have many women need to eat well above that. Mm-hmm. And I've done episodes already just talking about like that number is actually sometimes a problem for us to be so focused on.
And I think more the more significant in the weight loss not always does it match up, but the more you kind of need to eat to get out of that deficit. Yeah.
And at the end of the day, it's really not our opinion about the 2500 or where you need to be weight wise. Your body's already spoken.
I always tell clients, yeah, like, I don't know how much you're going to need to eat at the end of the day. I look at your chart, and your chart is going to give me,
yes,
that.
Yeah. It's not, there's no magic number. Mm-hmm. So great. Guys, Elena,
let's go.
Hey, friend, let's have a quick reality check. You told yourself you'd be done with this by summer. You'd be done with the obsessing. You'd be done with the tracking. Done with trying to piece together your recovery from random Instagram posts and Reddit threads. But here we are. Summer is almost over, if you're up in the Northern Hemisphere, and you're still just trying to like figure it out. Still maybe stuck in quasi-recovery, still unsure if you just need to wait a little bit longer and then it's finally going to work. And we get it. It's scary to invest time, money, to actually say like, I'm doing this when you feel unsure if it's going to work. But staying stuck in figure it out myself mode is actually costing you a bunch of time, peace, and getting back to your actual life. So if you've been on the fence about working with us as your coaching team, I actually have something for you. A whole step between making that decision or not, a whole in the middle option for you to go from, like, instead of going from DIY all the way into coaching, we actually created a custom Is Coaching Right For You quiz. It's custom because we actually read every individual one and answer to you if it makes sense for you to be doing coaching or if it actually makes sense for you to continue on your DIY path, right? Because we have so many DIY resources. So we let you know if it's right for you. The quiz is short, it's honest, and it's going to help you get clear on whether or not you're actually ready to move forward or if you're just like telling yourself you got this when maybe you don't. It's not about pressure. It's about gaining clarity about where you're at and what you're going to be able to do. So go to thehasociety.com. One of the first things you see on the website is going to be the Is Coaching Right For You quiz. Take it, and we're going to directly tell you and help you make the decision yourself, zero strings attached. That's thehasociety.com. Go ahead and find out, have you been wasting time or are you on track? Is this right for you? Is this something you need to do or are you trucking along nicely? We'll be honest, we always are. We are your friendly neighborhood BS investigators. You know this. And we're here to help you figure out if this is the right decision for you.
My name is Elena. And
sorry. So dramatic. And it's like an audiobook. Okay, keep going.
Elena.
And I'm really struggling with weight gain right now. I have gained 50 pounds.
Since, this is my client.
Yeah, this is Elena. Hey, girl.
Hey, girl, hey.
I have 3 periods starting since January after not having one for 8 years. Was that you? I feel like Elena signed up in like December.
She's
3 periods with me, she guys. Whoop, whoop. My second period was anovulatory and my most recent was the first that had a healthy length and I ovulated.
Congrats.
I am still not exercising and not planning to until 3 consecutive ovulatory cycles. My question is, at what point can I expect to stop gaining weight? I can't believe that I'm still gaining. I am 5'7 and I was 130 pounds in September and I'm now 180 pounds. First of all, you can tell she's a client because she's like, here's what I'm doing.
3 They lay it cycles. Out so clean.
The first time I didn't ovulate, but now I did.
I love our clients. Our clients are the best. Like, they're like, let me give you
the context. They're dialed in. They're dialed in.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so 5'7", so she's actually tallish for a girl. Mm-hmm. 130 pounds was very small to be at that height. And then 180, good for you. Love that for her.
Right?
Okay, but she is kind of like, can the gaining stop?
I feel like I chatted with her.
You did?
On a community call.
Yeah, I've met
Elena. And you also chatted with her within the forum. Okay. She weighed herself, and you gave her a really good question back to ask.
Love it.
Sometimes I don't know what I say.
Is
it confirming what you already know? Something of that nature.
Yeah. To be honest, I would expect her to stop gaining around now. Like probably.
Yeah. So I love that she shared these numbers, and I will. So like again, I lost my cycle at 135. Mm-hmm. I then gained. I was like around 40, 150, whatever. I eventually got up to like 180, 185. So I feel everything she's saying. And it is a dramatic shift.
It is.
Yeah.
There's no one on earth that could tell me that it wasn't a dramatic shift, right? Mm-hmm. And especially someone who's 5'7", I can imagine that like 135 on me is going to look different on somebody who has like 4 more inches than I am. Oh, you know what I mean? Certainly. So I can imagine it being a bigger like perception difference for mm-hmm. her. And so going from this to that just feels wild. Yes, obviously we would expect it to. So like this isn't a forever thing. I think some things to keep in mind is that we think the body is immediately healed at the first cycle.
Yep.
And it's just, that's just not true. It's just because the goal has been so big and the buildup has been so big and everything feels so dramatic to get to this point that we think that this must be the pinnacle of health.
And fast results is something that just as a society we're trained to look for.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yes, yes, we're just trained to look for it. So your body's still healing post, and so I'm not surprised if somebody in the second or third cycle kind of continues to gain weight a little bit, especially mm-hmm. if it took the second cycle to have an anovulatory. So while the first one you did bleed, you didn't ovulate, and now we're starting to get these cycle parameters, right? Mm-hmm. This is also where if someone does continue to gain weight, this is where I do genuinely start to be curious about other things that are going on in their life. Mm-hmm. And I say this very, like, I don't say that. So I don't really ever say this on the podcast because it's one that I suss out like on the call with them. Mm-hmm. But sometimes we can bring so much anxiety into our journey mm-hmm. that we then start to fear hunger.
Yep.
And then we think that now hunger is an emergency, and then we respond out of like a trauma response and we just eat, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so we tend to swing the other way rather than be like, oh, this is just a sign that I actually need to just move lunch up mm-hmm. earlier mm-hmm. rather than it creates a stress response.
Yeah.
So rather than being able to have because we're in the process, we are in the process of creating a working relationship with hunger where it doesn't mean so much. Because before hunger meant, ooh, I'm getting closer to my goals.
Yeah.
I have successfully restricted. So now I'm getting closer. And then you come to this healing side and it's like, oh my gosh, hunger. You're going to make me do this again. Like, you know what I mean? And then so we have this like really reactive response to hunger.
Yeah.
And so it takes us almost swinging from restriction to hypervigilance around hunger to then have a just like, oh, I'm hungry. Okay, well, we're going to bump lunch up and kind of moving on, which then I think leads us to then eating out of fear. Mm-hmm. Which then can create a whole other pathway. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I know
because we haven't created this working relationship with food and hunger, we're now still eating out of fear. Before, we were restricting out of fear, and now we're eating out of fear. And so we're just still not partnering with hunger. And I do think that it can lead to hypervigilance eating.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
100% agree.
Yeah. For her, I think she just spent such a long time at such a low weight.
Fair.
I think, which I could be wrong. So, Elena, if you're listening, <to this. laughs> you can confirm or deny. But I think her body is just trying to create a little bit more safety, and that, you know, the first few cycles nobody's first few cycles are optimal or within healthy cycle parameters, but, you know, once you get that first cycle back, like, that's a really energetic process that you just turned on. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Do not have that. Like, of course your body is going to, potentially some bodies just need more to
absolutely
maintain and to actually optimize that.
Well, almost everyone's does. And I think people, Elena's a really great example where, yeah, you have to go from 130 to 180 pounds sometimes.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just have to sit there. And so this is also something that I have not seen proven wrong yet. I'm not going to say always, and you know what I mean? I'm just saying that in 5 years, we've yet to see it happen yet. Mm-hmm. Is that the faster you can create safety and acceptance, the faster your body calms down.
Yeah.
And I truly believe then, like, you can then ease into intuitive eating. You can then create a healthy relationship with movement. And if your body then decides, hey, actually, just don't need all this, then, like, eventually your body will start to recomp. And it, like, and, like, we do see bodies, like, lose weight.
Yeah.
And because our program has never been a weight gaining goal, we're not sitting here and be like, pump up your calories. Yeah. I can't believe you lost 5 pounds.
You know what I mean? We actually don't look at that.
We actually never ask you to weigh yourself. We actually, like out of all the times and out of all the conversations and out of all the emails, you'll never hear me say, hey, how's your weight?
Yeah.
Because that's just not something that, like, we're tracking.
Yeah.
Even I reference Megan's, we should just have her in podcast, like in studio.
That'll be so fun.
She had such an extreme journey. And I was like, oh my gosh. Like, I am banking on being right about this theory. And this woman's trusting me through this. And I was like, this better flipping work out. But she came from such an anorexic state.
Yes.
And her body needed actually 100 pounds.
To feel safe.
And she needed to stay there. And then she needed to just get back to regular life and not fear mm-hmm. hunger and have anxiety around hunger. And mm-hmm. then her body slowly just, like, let go.
Yeah.
Over very, very, very slowly.
That's what happened to me, too.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
That's what happened to all of us.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not many of us gained 100 pounds. So, you know, this one, like, really tested my theory.
But again, her weight gain was, like, a reflection of the extreme.
Yes.
Because she was at such an extreme low weight.
Yes.
And I think that is replicated in everybody. Like, you know, ours was 30 pounds. But that was a reflection of how low we went.
Yes, mm-hmm. absolutely. And so, long story short, she trusted the process of creating safety, being kind, really establishing a normal rhythm with food and movement, and then she let her body be, mm-hmm. and on its own time, mm-hmm. it came down.
Yeah.
And I kept trying to tell her that if you push this,
yep.
if you poke the bear, mm-hmm. I do think that the bears are going to bite back.
Yep.
And so she just let it go. Like, she mm-hmm. like, and then, like, it wasn't, like, just one moment. It was, like, month after month of, like, releasing more and more control.
Let go of this now. I'm going to let go of that.
I'm going to let go even more. Like, I thought I'd let go of it all, but I guess I'm going to let go of it more. And so I do believe that your body wants to find homeostasis, but it cannot do it if you're constantly criticizing it or fearing it and not partnering with it. Like, I just don't think it's available.
But I think that's the beautiful part of weight gain that I think that we all miss when we're trying to wish it away or micromanage it, is that, like, it gives you that final opportunity you are absolutely forced to create a better relationship with your body.
Yeah,
hands down. And if you surrender to that, like, it helps you with acceptance. It helps you with your relationship with food. It helps you with your relationship with yourself. It helps you with your relationship with, I literally almost just said gymnastics. Gymnastics.
Sport?
With exercise. Mm-hmm. And if you just don't allow yourself to sit there and you are micromanaging it. Like, you just don't get those benefits. That's why.
You're resisting the transformation.
You're like, I will not be a butterfly. I will stay a caterpillar. Yeah.
And that's why, like, I feel like Megan's story is, like, such, like, a great representation of the process. And if you just allow it to happen, because if you could just see Megan now. I have I have a good percentage of clients that are like, yeah, I listen to Megan's story and it's like, it's really scary. I don't want that to happen to me. I'm like, wait.
That's fair.
Yeah. I'm like, fair, but it does. But I'm like, do you know Megan's story?
But like, do you know how she turned out?
Like, I'm just like, she is in the best place mentally, physically, emotionally. Like,
But it's just fear that it won't turn out that way for them. That's all.
Yeah.
Which is like human.
And you're like, that's fair, because I'm pretty sure Megan's like, I wouldn't want that for myself again.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I get it. It's really traumatizing, but it's just, there's just too many women going through this process who fight it. And hey, they are successful to a certain extent. They're bleeding. They're cycling. But, like, they still don't have a great relationship with themselves, their body, food, exercise. And their cycles probably are suboptimal. And it's just because they went through the process micromanaging it. And I think you really don't get that full transformation unless you actually surrender to the process.
Yeah. That's fair.
Which I feel like that's what you're articulating.
Yeah. Like, you must surrender.
Yeah. And
you cannot have it if you're holding on too tight to the past.
And sometimes it does require you to sit at a weight you're super uncomfortable with.
Well, I think it challenges... Everyone can say, be like, have a great self-esteem. Put on 30 pounds. Tell me how you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell me how you feel.
But That's a skill.
But Elena.
Put on my resume.
Question. I think you could probably potentially expect to stop gaining weight around now if you're cycling. Maybe a little bit more. But maybe not. That's nice.
And I think if not, then it's like we need to start looking at the relationship and the things that we're bringing into the relationship with food.
Yeah.
And the anxiety and the hypervigilance, like, that would be something to really explore, you know?
Yeah. But if, you know, like, if things aren't plateauing, let's certainly explore it. But however, I think when she was writing that question, she was, like, approaching ovulation. And so
Absolutely. She
was on that roller coaster because we were emailing
fire
back and
everybody.
Forth.
My clients always want to fire me right before ovulation. I'm like, you can fire me, but things are looking really good right now.
I actually just like went to respond yesterday and I'm like, yo, I think you ovulated. So all of that makes a lot of sense of what just happened.
I'm pretty sure just this week, I had like my client, like I had to give some firm feedback. You know, loving but firm. I'm teaching Nuggie that right now. I was like, say things firmly, Nuggie. We don't need to yell firm. Anyways, I was giving some firm feedback. And when I look at her chart, I'm like, oh, I think she just ovulated. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah. All makes sense now in hindsight.
All makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on.
Oh, do we have another one?
I have a lot. Do we have time?
Yeah, let's pursue.
All right, let's try to stay more focused, everyone. Too many rabbit holes.
Well, how many? Well, normally we do like three.
Yeah, we can
just do three.
Yeah,
let's do one more and see how it goes. All right, crush.
Okay, this is perfect. This is a bit of a different one, too. She says, hi. This is a little bit of a different question around weight gain. We're talking to Rebecca. I'm not sure if it will fit your show, but here it is anyway. I'm 22 years old. I'm 177.5 centimeters tall.
I don't know what
that's actually really tall.
Okay.
I had HA for about 2 years due to significant life changes, stress, under eating, and picking up long distance running. I recovered after watching your show and implementing what I learned. So thank you so much. I got pregnant first cycle after gaining 10 kilos, 53 down to 63. No, 53 up to 63 kilos. Now I am 8 months postpartum. I have gained an extra 4 kilograms, hoping to get my period back while breastfeeding. So my question is, does weight gain after pregnancy encourage your period to come back postpartum? I'm unsure whether a history of HA affects getting your period back postpartum, but I would love to have children close together. So I've stopped all exercise and I'm eating well over 3,000 calories a day, I'm guessing. I eat every couple of hours and way more than my husband. Nice. My son is feeding 4 times a day and sleeps through the night. He's eating a lot of solids, but I'm not ready to wean him yet and would like to breastfeed as long as possible.
I am also a stay-at-home mum. For genetic context, both my mother and sister get their period about 8 weeks after birth at the latest. Any information you have about getting your postpartum period back would be so helpful. Okay. I actually think she sounds like she's doing a great job. And the truth is, we don't see a lot of women with a history of HA really get their period back when breastfeeding, anecdotally.
Yes.
Just anecdotally, including myself. And I think that we do have a genetic predisposition to sensitivity. If you are someone who gets HA, who doesn't, especially if you didn't have an actual eating disorder background, then I think you are just more,
you're just more sensitive. Get it.
I think your baseline just changes. Mm-hmm. Like you change your equilibrium, like your homeostasis, because your body just like needs that buffer because it remembers.
Yeah, either it remembers or you just like, because you know how there are just, there are some girls who drag their body through the mud and continue to cycle. Yeah, and I think true. That's just a genetic thing. Yeah. They don't cycle well, you know, but they continue to. And so when you are still breastfeeding, we don't know if it's because of how soon you got pregnant into like your post-recovery journey. We don't know if it's like that plus the stress of pregnancy. We don't know if it's because this was always going to be your reality. But there does seem to be some difficulty. I don't think I've ever had a client. Yes, but they're feeding like once a day.
Once a day. Has to drop tremendously. You know what's really interesting about this? I had a previous client email me about this same thing. You know what's really interesting is that I think it's more wanting to control the timeline of when they're going to get pregnant again.
Yeah.
And I'm like, bro, you're bucking up against, like, biology.
Mm-hmm. Like, luckily you're for her, likely, she's super young.
Yeah. Do you know, to the point where they're like, yes, but I want to get pregnant now while, like, breastfeeding. I'm like,
that's a big ask.
I hear you.
So yeah, but your body doesn't know.
But you know, like, I hear you. You want
kids 2 years apart.
But I don't think your body cares about your timeline.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're doing is really energy demanding. First off, ovulation is energy demanding. Breastfeeding is energy demanding. Staying at home with the kids, energy demanding. Then to get pregnant and then to breastfeed again. Like, it's very energy demanding.
Yeah.
And so just... Yes, there are some people who can ovulate while breastfeeding. I have a friend.
Many.
Except for that, she never had HA. Exactly. And she was never on the leaner side. And so I'm just like,
that's what it takes, I think.
I think it takes quite an abundance to do that, just from like a math perspective.
Physiology perspective as well, too. I just think that like, in order to make that happen, you're going to have to change your perception or your belief on like, what's an adequate amount of food.
Especially if you're breastfeeding 4 times a day.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's breastfeeding 4 times a day. So that, like, I think, adjust your expectations.
Yeah.
If this is what I would tell anyone.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to get pregnant now and you're breastfeeding 4 times a day and the story in your head is, well, continuing to breastfeed my child is this admirable thing, right? Because, like, we do see it that way.
Yeah.
Right? It's this admirable thing. And so you, like, but also so is wanting to have another kid. And it's totally reasonable. And maybe also I feel, like, admirable to want to have my child super close in age. I don't know what the stories people have in their head around that are.
We clearly only had one.
But it's one of those things where it's like, I should be able to have children close together, and I should be able to do it while still breastfeeding. And I don't get that impression, Rebecca, from your email. No. You sound pretty level-headed, but there are a lot of people out there who have a little bit of like this delusional confidence almost that you should be able to have.
Well, it's an entitlement
kind
of thing.
Because so many people
like sold, like, if you want something, you can have it.
And absolutely.
It's
the same thing.
It's just bred into us, unfortunately.
Yeah. And so I think like we're all on the same page of like, you're just asking a lot. You're continuing to perpetuate the cycle of asking a lot from your body because you think it should be able to do that because
everyone else does it. Well, mom and sister did it.
I understand that some people have similar experiences to their parents.
Yeah.
Me and my sister, completely different.
Yeah.
Completely different experiences. I think that with the whole sibling thing, it comes up a lot.
It does. Right?
It comes up a lot for in different things, different questions for us. It's much easier for us to look at the ways that we think we should be similar to our siblings, but we all have some very significant differences mm-hmm. to our siblings too. Mm-hmm. And we can be so different to them, but we pick and choose the data points that we want to pull from.
Yes, narrative. We cherry pick.
Yeah.
Without
yeah. To suit the narrative we would like to hear, right? So yeah. You would like to hear that, well, my sister and my mom got their period 8 weeks, so I should too. But like, I'm pretty sure there's some things that are different about you and your sister and your mom as well in any area of life.
Yeah.
But it means they're just like
not the comparison that you think that they are.
Like, what are you adding to the story and why? Like, what is it giving
you? Yeah. Yeah, no, I just think it's going to take ridiculous amount of nourishment
that you just shouldn't even want to do.
Yeah.
You're going to have to, I think you should just stop weaning.
And I think sometimes too, the whole like, I want my kids to be X amount of time apart because this is how I grew up. And I loved having my sister or brother being this close mm-hmm. in age to me. It's like, well, I don't think you're, potentially, I don't think your parents planned that. And so this goes to like, anytime you put pressure on the body, she will rebel more often than not.
I love that you bring this up. I think that, yes, being like, I want my kids 2 years apart is planning for something that you actually have no control over. Mm-hmm. My siblings are 15 months apart and they have zero relationship and they have never had a relationship even when they were small children. Mm-hmm. You cannot control that.
Mm-hmm.
The more you try to control, the less you are going to get. They might be friends. They might not be friends.
Well, because you're trying to play a role that you never had a role in. Like, things are supposed to play out the way they play mm-hmm. out. And you trying to be the creator of that is never going to work out.
Yeah. And if your goal, if you're just like, it's not really about the closeness, it's just that we want a big family.
Yeah.
Right?
Fair. Okay, that's cool. So fair.
Luckily, homegirl starting at 22. Okay.
Good for her. Love that for her.
So yeah. She's got some buffer.
Yeah.
But like, okay. This is the same conversation we have with like athletes too. If you want to say yes to this, I'm going to need you to say no to, mm-hmm. to
mm-hmm.
diet, exercise, body control, right? So if you want to have 8 kids in 8 years, okay,
it's a choice.
You probably can't do anything else.
Well, then it's like you're probably not going to be able to breastfeed as long as you want.
Yeah, if you're someone with an HA background, yeah, so like...
But yeah, so you're like, I'm not saying that's not available to you, but like you just may not be able to breastfeed as long as you want.
You have to choose.
And so you're like, that's a choice. A strategy. Like no one's saying that you can't have them close together. No one's saying that you can't breastfeed, but...
You might not have it all.
Yeah.
That's what we're saying
Yeah.
I know that that's that entitlement thing, right? Like I know that it's the right thing to do breastfeed them mm-hmm. for as long as possible.
Well, and you know, like I say entitlement not in the traditional sense, but I think it's just like we feel like our body owes us all these things to be able to do at the same time.
Yeah.
And then that's, so you're like, it's not in the traditional entitlement sense of like, oh, you're a white, oh, like you're like a white girl. So therefore like you feel entitled for this, right? Like that's not what we're doing. I'm just saying, like, I'm not saying like, you know, but I'm just, no.
But I am saying that 95% of our listeners are white girls. Listen.
There we go. Now that we've offended everybody equally. But what I'm just saying is that we feel like you should be doing this, and give me this, and this, even though...
Because it's the right thing
to do. But yeah. Listen, again, it comes back to the question, who benefits from that? Because I think the forces that may be have created that idea in you that you can and you should have it all. Like, you should be striving for that. Like...
And so, yeah, like I could see that being like formula where it's like, oh, don't worry, we'll feed your baby formula.
Oh no,
and I'm not anti-formula.
But there are people who feel shame about it. And what we're saying is no, like it's a possible avenue to you getting the gaggle of children.
Right.
And it doesn't have to be a problem. But if you're like, no, I have to have a gaggle of children I have to breastfeed, like, then
well,
you're
I think you're committed to like this timeline where like think about
but the,
like,
but the timeline executed per in this very That's specific in this very specific beautiful way that gives you a round of applause from everyone and
so you're performing
Kind of. And I do think there are, you know, there are people who are adamant about like the benefits of breastfeeding over formula. I'll have you know, I am a formula fed child.
Your baby was breastfed.
My baby was because I could, but like,
yeah, I wanted to breastfeed my baby.
You tried and it was just too much.
She tore my nips up.
You know?
It was just a situation.
I'm formula fed, probably Mountain Dew fed too.
That's what we're saying, right? It's like that.
Here's a bottle full of Mountain Dew.
Yeah, that now like this wellness, this like holistic wellness culture that we are a part of, right?
Yes. We're
somewhere in the middle.
We're adjacent.
We're adjacent because we're like, do it natural. But if you just have to lay out your priorities. Are your priorities a breastfed child or are your priorities lots of children? And then both are great.
At a certain age apart.
Right,
That's the factor. Or that factor.
If you need it in this
specific order, in the specific timeline.
The timeline. Yeah. You got to let the something somewhere that needs to be let go.
Flexibility.
Whatever that is up to you.
I thought we weren't going to go on a rabbit trail.
But wait, this one's good. But the one thing that I feel like is a determinant of a recovered person is your ability to be flexible.
That is, yes. To pivot.
Clip that.
Keep it moving. You know what I mean? Note to self, Danny.
So true.
Okay. Next.
That was it.
That was good.
Crushed it.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for joining us on this episode today.
We're going down the mini rabbit holes.
I hope we've offended all.
If you have questions, equally.
Yeah.
But do email or comment below your question. We pull from the comments as well.
Yeah.
So let us know and we'll do it for next time.
Yeah.
All right.
Bye. I got a piece of that.
All right.
Outfit change.
Brennan,
yes. Can we like?
Thanks for listening. If that episode has you feeling pumped up and motivated, then you're ready to go deeper. Come and join us inside of the HA Society community. When you join, you'll get an included one-on-one breakthrough call to map out your next steps with a member of our team, resources on body image and mindset, meal ideas, and deep dives into the science of HA, and the best part? Our live community calls held multiple times a week with our coaching team and members just like you. And P.S. When you get your period back, head on over to my other show, Stop Being Perfect, with Danny Scherf. This is for women who have already recovered to talk all things life after HA, training, exercise, parenting, and even just getting after life now that you're free. This show is only for women who are through recovery. So stay focused, and I'll see you there when all is said and done.